Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, real woman, and good morning, real world. Thank you for joining me, God, and a cup of coffee. I have been waiting for this day for quite a while. I'm very excited. The sun is shining. The sky is bright. The birds are singing, and I like to say the mood is right. I'm excited. I think this is a bittersweet morning because I didn't realize when I scheduled the original show that it was Father's Day. But that's okay because I'm just so grateful and so blessed to have had such a wonderful father. My spirit is not low, but I'm excited about the fact that everything in me, I can contribute to his teaching and I can contribute to his love. I can contribute to his direction. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about the opportunity to share with you on this morning. So I hope you grabbed your mugs and you filled it up because God is waiting to talk to us. And I've invited you to share with me on this morning and my friends. I have people that have told me that they are going to dial in, and I hope they'll do so. And I just want to share with you and talk with you about what God has been doing for me. When I woke up one morning, I decided to do Real Women with Real Weight because out of my own experiences, I realized that the weight of life sometimes distracts us from being who we were purposed to be. And I realized that it's not just something that I go through, but it literally is something that we all go through. It doesn't matter what your walk in life is. It doesn't matter if you are highly profiled or if you're just what some may call just another person on the street. We all go through some of the same things.
I may not look like you, but it's all right.
Yes, that's what I want to tell you this morning.
I may not think like you, but it's
all right. I may not look like you, but it's all right.
Because the sun will rise each day and set each night, and the earth will keep spinning around, spinning around. I may not speak like you, but don't you fret.
I may not speak like you, but don't fret.
Don't walk the same old thought.
I wanted to share that this morning. I have a special guest. This is going to be an interesting morning. I have a special guest with me this morning. I asked that she join us because, again, because it's Father's Day, and I kind of altered everything I was doing this morning when I woke up and I thought, oh, my gosh, did you even realize it was Father's Day weekend? So I called my mother and I said, you know, Mom, I said, I'd like for you to join me this morning and to be a part of the conversation. And so I've taken the time to, I got up early this morning, I called my mother, I said, listen, I'm going to call you, and when I call you, I want you to just get on the line and chat. But before she comes on, I just want to say to you that I'm very excited about the opportunity to host this show. And my decision to host the show predicated upon the need to have a conscious conversation with God in the morning stems from my reality that without that conversation, the idea of being awake and alive at the same time is just a hope. And, of course, this stems from my realizing that my very existence, in fact, even your very existence and our lifeline is linked to relationship with God. So for me, the idea of starting my morning without a conversation with my lifeline, well, it's just unacceptable. And because I love you, I decided to invite you over for a cup of coffee. And I want you to know that God can speak to us in so many different ways. And it's unusual times. And he speaks to us through vision. He speaks to us through dreams, through nature, through relationships, and more. And so I thought about coffee, and boy, do I love a good cup of coffee. And it's funny, I was talking with my brother Stephen one morning, and we were just chatting, something we do very often. And we were talking about the morning and how we just connect with God in the morning. And he said something. He said, well, you know, Sue, he said, for me, it's just me, God, and a cup of coffee. And I said, oh, Stephen, I love that. And he said, I said, yes, can I feel it? He said, yeah, if you do something with it. And so I thought about it, and I said, you know what, this will be a great opportunity for me to invite my friends and women that I don't even know just to have a cup of coffee with me in the morning. And so you might ask, why coffee? Well, to me, coffee is universal, and it's a good excuse to get together. It's part of every great conversation I've ever had. And in any country, in any state, you can get a good cup of coffee. When there's a birth or a death, we celebrate or we relate with coffee. Coffee always delivers the same message, friendship and warmth. And it invites you to that place where you can come together and just talk about things that's on your mind. And I invite you to get your coffee or your tea or your cappuccino, whatever it is you do in the morning, and that you will take time to listen. I am 52 years old. I want to tell you that because some of you know me, some of you have never met me. And I'm an ordained elder in the church. I've been in the finance industry for over 25 years as a mortgage professional. I've traveled various places, ran companies. And, you know, one thing about experience, no one can take away your experience in life. But the nice thing about it all is that there's this hodgepodge. We get to come together and share. And what I've learned is that as we begin to share with one another, we find out we're not so different at all. I mean, in fact, you have something that you can share with me that will encourage me and lift me up and take me into the next place. And I have something that I can share with you. And that's what I want to do today. I don't take away from the professionals. I don't have a degree in broadcasting. But what I do have is a love for women. I have a love for sharing God's principles. And I have an experience that I think that I'll be able to share and you'll be able to glean from. And so this morning we decided to talk about the root of rejection. I like that topic because even this morning when I was preparing for the show, I actually was nervous and somewhat afraid, and I thought to myself, well, this doesn't beat everything. When we talk about rejection, well, here I am. I'm a little nervous and apprehensive. Will they receive what I have to say? And so I thought it was a little ironic. I like the topic, the root of rejection, because so many people in today's society are trying to prove their worth by climbing the ladder of success. We think if we can get a promotion, a bigger house, a better-looking car, get in the right circles, then finally we will have worth and gain acceptance. But what we have to know is that rejection is no respect of person. In other words, it's not just, quote-unquote, the Christians, something that Christians deal with. It's something that all people deal with, and this happens to be a show for women by women. But even men deal with rejection. Rejection is universal. There are many causes of rejection. There's abuse. There's physical, verbal, sexual, and emotional abuse. There's turmoil within the home, adoption, abandonment, unfaithfulness in marriage, divorce, peer rejection, and more. Keeping in mind that rejection does not have to come from an abusive background. I have, in my past, suffered from the fear of rejection. When you come up, and this is when I want to make sure my mother's on the line. Mom, are you on the line this morning?
Yeah, yes, Sue. I'm right here.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I wanted to have her on the line because I'm getting ready to talk about her just a little bit, her and my father. But when coming up in a family, my father was a bishop and my mother pastors, and coming up in a home where we were expected to carry ourselves a certain way, and we were expected to, you know, you would go to church and among all the people, and you were expected to have a smile on your face, and you were expected to do those things that represented, for a better lack of words, the family. And then there was the love for my parents. I mean, we would travel all across the country, and people loved my mother and my father. And I don't know. I worked in Vegas for some time. I worked in California for several months. I worked in Arizona for several months. I don't care where I go, I always run into somebody that knows my father. And so what happens is that even in this place, you know, you find yourself wanting to live up to what I call their expectations of you, even though it could be in my mind what I thought that they expected. Well, just wanting people to love me the way they loved my parents. And so I just wanted to share with you that rejection is universal, but God, in his infinite wisdom and might, is able to deliver us from it all. And so I wanted to say that that was something that I suffered from, just the idea of being rejected, not being as perfect as how I deemed or how I saw my parents. And another form of rejection is insecurity. And I want to pause here for a moment just to say to you, if you're on the line and we come across something that you want to chime in, you have a comment, or you want to ask a question, you simply have to push 1. I'll acknowledge that you're there, and I'll give you an opportunity to ask your question. And don't be afraid. We have a website. It's Real Women with Real Weight, www.realwomenwithrealweight.com. And if you know anything about the website, the premise of that site is allowing women to come together, to fellowship one another, to share your gifts, and to know that without you, I can't be whole. The Word of God talks about a fitting of the joints. We must become one. And without you, I can't be whole. So I need you to survive, as Kirk Franklin would say so eloquently. So insecurity breeds rejection because of the need to be approved by someone else. And so I want to pause there for just a moment, and I want to say that I hope that you will dial in. I hope that you will take a moment to think about what we're talking about. We have 30 more minutes here in the conversation. I want to play one song for you, and then when I come back, we're just going to talk about some of the causes of rejection, the results of rejection, the perception, rejection and perception, and we're going to end with a high note. And I hope you stay on the line, and I hope you enjoy what we have for you on today.
Now I'm struggling with what has always been, as I stumble underneath the load of sin. The questions to the answers never end, and can I ever find the peace within? But you've loved me through it all, you died to set me free. Oh,
guys, I'm back. And so I want to just talk briefly about the causes of rejection. What I came to terms with is rejection can cause a wound that will open a door to other areas in our life. And through that door, I like to think of it as I'm a gardener. If anybody knows me, I'm a gardener. And I like to think of it as a garden that we build, we put in all the beautiful flowers and all the different fragrances. And in that garden, there are weeds. And if you don't weed the garden, then the weeds begin to take over and they begin to overshadow the beautiful flowers. And that's what I think of rejection and how we can allow rejection sometimes to infiltrate our thoughts and our mind. My sister Deborah likes to say a seed planted is a crop viewed. In other words, if you plant the seed, even though it hasn't grown yet, once you plant that seed, you can expect it to grow, especially if you water it with negative thoughts and negative impact in your conversation. And, Mom, I'm just going to mention some of these causes of rejection, and then I'm going to give you, if you want, just a minute to speak. But rejection causes unwanted conception, contemplated or attempted abortion, a child born as the wrong sex, parents who wish for a boy but have a girl, parents who wish for a girl but have a boy, a child born with defects, including learning disabilities or physical disabilities, sometimes suffers from rejection. Comparison to another sibling, adoption, abandonment, death of one or both parents, abuse, including physical, we talked about that, verbal, sexual, emotional, and even the withholding of love. A parent with mental illness, sometimes that child may feel abandoned, or being a victim of circumstances, including extended illness following a birth that requires constant hospitalization and care, needing someone to care for you and feeling rejected because you're not getting the proper care, or peer rejection, or like we said, turmoil within the home, marriage rejection, unfaithfulness by your spouse, or divorce. Rejection comes in so many forms and fashions, and so sometimes if you're not careful, it kind of sneaks in. Mom, did you want to comment there, or did you have a comment?
Yes. I was listening to you, and I understand perfectly what you're saying. It's true. But, you know, one of the things that seem to that comes forth in my mind is how we perceive ourselves. I was listening to you, and you were talking about insecurity. When we say rejection, one must have felt secure at one time, and then something took place to cause them to feel rejected or not be, insecure. And what happens is that when we allow our mind to wander and to go into I don't know whether you would call it a empty place or not, and for lack of another word, and begin to feed on those things, you know, self. It's something about self. When we stay there, we begin to feel as though sometimes rejection is really only you being by your own interpretation or your own mind. I don't know how to put this into words.
No, that's absolutely correct, because that was one of the places we were going to go, rejection and your perception.
Yeah.
And the fact that if you walk into a room, for example, and someone doesn't give you immediate attention, I'm just thinking about my professional career or whatever, and you assume that all the people in the room don't like you. An assumption, because that's exactly correct.
That's right.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. You know, and then we're threatened, you know, a lot of times, and it comes from what we don't understand. You know, I don't want to go Bible or anything, you know.
No, I want you to. That's who,
you know,
that's, I don't mind going Bible. I love Bible.
Okay. The Word of God tells us, it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The changing of one's mind. So you have to move yourself. You have to allow yourself to come out from around, even if it's only for a while, come away from or from around those things that appear or that you have assumed that rejection, or you may have actually been rejected. But it's not based on, it's not based on how a man perceives you. It's based on what your deliverance is based on how you perceive yourself. And we have the ability to come away from that. You know, so we go, different ones go to psychiatrists and psychologists and what have you to help them to overcome that prison, I'll put it, of rejection. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're here.
Oh, I thought you had gone. But
no, not at all. I'm listening.
Yeah, because it is a prison, because you're bound. You're bound. You're not free even in the things that you think that you're moving around freely in. There's an underlying current when you allow this type of thing to dominate or to overtake you, I would think. But what do you think about that?
No, that's absolutely correct, and that's why I wanted to have this show on this morning. I mean, there's so many things we can talk about, but I only can really talk profoundly about things that I've been taught and trained either professionally or from my experiences. And when I think about rejection, I can definitely relate based on my experiences. And that's exactly what it does, because it binds you, because it keeps you from moving into that place where you can, like you said, be free. Because your fear of people, sometimes
mm-hmm.
we want to, I'll give you something very simple. You already know, I worked, when I worked for one bank, they traveled me all across the country. I was in Arizona for 7 months. I was in California for over, working back and forth for over a year. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was in Vegas, all the different places. Well, traveling by myself, something as simple as traveling by myself, as outspoken as I am and as many people as I know, when I would go to these places, sometimes I would be afraid just to go out and go sit out and have dinner, and I would stay in my hotel room sometimes by myself for fear of going out and being rejected by people I never even met in my life before. And so what fear does and what rejection does, you're right, it is a prison, because it houses you. It keeps you in a place from living. You know, the Word of God talks about life and that more abundantly. Well, it keeps you from experiencing the abundant life. You know what's interesting is I have some other callers on the line. I don't know if they're afraid to hit one and comment, or if they just don't have a comment. But I know for certain there are many out there that have confronted rejection in their past before. But, you know, it's funny because that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about being afraid to expose ourselves for fear that someone may not receive us. So the key to that is, I found, is staying in the Word of God. I like to say the Word of God because that's what I believe in. That's how I live my life. I read it. I read books. But the other part of that is putting yourself in places with people that are like-minded, that, and what I mean by that want to exemplify Christ, that understand that in the tongue is the power of life and death. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean to a person that's never read the Word of God? In the tongue is the power of life and death. That means that your conversation dictates what you're going to do, what's in your heart. I like to say that when the heart speaks, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your conversation dictates, and you have to learn. You know, you have to learn how to change your language. And sometimes we say something as simple as "I'm afraid." But we can begin to say, I'm not afraid. You know, something so simple. I have no fear. Well, when you say things like that, does that mean that you're lying? No, because the more you say it, the more it becomes a reality in your life. That's what's meant by a seed planted is a crop view. The more you plant the seed, the more it becomes a reality in your walk, and you're able to manifest what you speak. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. And here's Mom, let me just say this real quick. Here's some of the results of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the results of allowing rejection to take hold and put you in that prison, as we were just talking about. Rebellion, anger, bitterness, guilt, inferiority, poor self-image. that's a big one. I've looked at some beautiful women, and they feel less about themselves because of rejection or fear of rejection. Drug addiction, alcoholism, been there, done that. Judgmentalism, you know, all of these things are the result of rejection. Poverty, why poverty? Because instead of allowing yourself to go out and do some of the things that are gifted in your hands, you sit back and accept less because you're afraid that you won't be accepted. Fear of all types, hopelessness, defensiveness. Oh, defensiveness, that's huge. Hardness, distrust, disrespect. I can just go on. Competition, jealousy. You know, I tell you, that rejection is something, but I can say firsthand that there is a peace that comes when you really begin to understand that you are created in His image, and that if you allow yourself to know Him, and if you allow yourself to just grab hold to what He has for you, then you will be able to and allow your mind to be transformed. Then you will begin to see that God can be great, and all the things, some of the things that are in your heart, in your mind to do, He will allow you to do. I see that I have another caller on the line. I'm going to open up the call so that they can speak. I believe, actually, it's a 434 number, so I'm going to say that it's my sister, Deborah Alexander, which makes me very happy. Let me just see. Hold on 1 second, guys. If it is, then you're in for a treat. Deborah, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Did you have a comment?
Yes, I do. I was thinking about what you were saying in reference to rejection. As someone that used to really struggle with that fear, I like what my mother said. Good morning, Mom.
Hi,
I like what you said in reference to, in order to realize rejection, you would have had to experience first acceptance. And it was such an awesome thought because, yes, in my family, you know, we were raised receiving one another, encouraging one another, and you know, proud of the different things you do and say or whatever. But so you're not really expecting rejection. But then as you go on in life and you begin to try different things, as, you know, gifts and talents or experiences, when someone doesn't readily accept you or accept what you said or accept what you're doing, it seems awkward. And then the more that happens, the spirit of rejection has a place. But what I thought about was, when my battle ended, it ended as I began to study the word and believe and receive what God said about me. See, He said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, and for you to believe that is for you to reject that suggestion of rejection. When you begin to receive what God says about you and have confidence, your confidence builds, and the things that you're putting your hands to, and you really begin to look out of God's eyes and see really that people do appreciate what you're doing or what you've done or what you're saying, or they don't understand it. But it's not personal. And I do tell people, I say it all the time, don't take it personal. It's not personal. Everybody deals with things the way, you know, they perceive it or according to their understanding or lack of understanding. But the value point is that you have to know who you are. If you believe and know who you are and understand that you do all things well because you were created in the image and likeness of God Himself, then you're not going to look for rejection. You're going to expect acceptance. And those yes. that don't accept, you understand it's because of lack of understanding or they can't appreciate the thing that you do. They don't have to. I remember when I began to design clothes, and I would get so excited about my designs. Oh, my goodness. And I would present them. People loved them. But then my mother said to me one day, people don't have to like it. They're not necessarily going to like that design because you like that design. But because I loved it so much, I couldn't imagine anybody wouldn't like it. But that's just the truth. All styles are not for everyone. All thoughts are not agreed upon. So you can't see it as a personal rejection. It's as a
yeah.
man think it, it's like you said.
Yeah, I like that. That's
cool,
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I like that. And one of the things that you were saying that you can't assume that everyone will like what you like. And I, you know, it's so funny because something's so simple. I had to literally come to terms with that even in realizing when it came to a relationship with a man. That, you know, well, why doesn't he like me? Well, because maybe he doesn't like short hair, or maybe he doesn't like weight. And I had to come to terms with that and say, you know, just because a man doesn't respond to you, it doesn't mean that he doesn't like you as a person. You just not be may not be what's in his eyesight, because there are some men that I'm not attracted to. And just little things like that, I had to literally come to terms with that just so that I could get past the concept of being rejected by the opposite sex. I tell you,
well,
I love God.
He's on that.
Okay, I want to hear that.
My
yeah.
sense on that is they may not know how to communicate. You know, I mean, really, it's not necessarily about me. It's I'm talking to you with you and
mm-hmm.
and trying to communicate, and you're not saying anything, it may very well be that you don't know how to communicate. And because of that, you are afraid then to talk back with me. So if that's the case, then, you know, it takes a little time to help you figure it out by communicating with you more. See, I have learned to turn it away from me. Turn it away from me. It's not because of anything necessarily that I have done or not doing or that I'm not good enough. It may just very well be that you don't think you're good enough for me. Now, that may sound...
That's awesome.
Arrogant, but it's there are many ways to look at a thing, and I think that sometimes we need to turn it away from ourselves. It's not personal. So now, if this person is not flowing in communication, and maybe he's afraid that he doesn't measure up, you know, maybe we just need to communicate a little more, or drop a little tidbit to free him up enough to hold a sentence, make a sentence.
Let me jump in there for a second.
Go ahead, Mom.
He may not like the way you look, and you might be a little chubby or a little too skinny, and your hair may be a little short, a little bit too long, a little bit too nappy, or a little bit too straight. But guess what? The Word of God says, and I like this part. Whatever's
mm-hmm.
happening and however it's going, it's working for your good. That's scripture. Now, I can't find it right now, but it's scripture. And that goes for every single one of us. And that
mm-hmm.
all things are working for us. And so we have to, you know, it's very difficult when you're not in that mindset that God has for you to be able to jump past rejection. I liked what Deborah was saying in the beginning, or Susan, whichever one, because I had wrote it down as number one, what they don't understand. See, what man doesn't understand about himself puts him in a mindset of being rejected, and then he's threatened by whatever
mm-hmm.
is being said that appears to be negative. when sometimes it's not negative. God is always doing something to bless us, whether we understand God, whether we know his will for us, whether we're walking in what one would deem righteousness or not. He's always working on our behalf. And then the next thing is that we're afraid of what will cause unwanted change. See, sometimes we feel rejected when we're really not being rejected because we don't want unwanted change. We do not want to change from where we were. That place that we were and we felt secure in may not have been a good place of security.
Mm-hmm.
Food for thought.
No, that's good. No, that's awesome. And I had another little friend, Alicia. I thought she was going to be on the line. That's my buddy. She's not on the line, I'm assuming. But there was a scripture that I wanted to read. excuse me. One second, please. Let me drink some water here. There was a scripture I wanted to read from the New King James Version. It's Psalms, the 40th. Chapter, the 40th Psalm, 1 through 3, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. I like that because I think that really responds to what you were saying also, that you have to study the Word of God. The Word of God says to study, to show thyself, to prove to yourself, not to anyone else, but to prove to yourself that you are a workman, that you are worthy, that you are a workman that need not be ashamed, that he is able to transform your mind, transform your heart, and to give you what this path says, a new song in your mouth, and out of your mouth begins to flow the abundance of life. I tell you, I'm loving this topic. We have 8 minutes, and the clock keeps ticking, and it's telling me that I have 8 minutes and 8 seconds, and I wish I had more time. I actually had 2 hours, but I only set the show up today for... Yes.
Good morning. This is Teresa.
So good morning. Hold on, Teresa. Oh, this is Teresa?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I would love to. Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. It's so much when you're being rejected, there's also a fear there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fear of even if they receive you, you may not be who they will want. And because you're also afraid of that, and because of maybe some other things you're going through, you may not be able to understand even them caring for you or loving you because of the other issues they have in their life that has not been addressed. And they may not even be aware that they have the issue because they have had no one in their life to be an example to them to bring the things that's in them of God out of them so that they can recognize who they are.
That's an awesome comment. That's an awesome comment. Deborah's mom, do you want to respond to that?
No, because I agree with Teresa about that. That's the truth.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know Teresa, but hi, Teresa. Thank you for joining us this morning. This is I'm very happy to have you on the line. And, yeah, that is a very true comment.
But I think you actually on Miss Deborah.
Oh, you know Deborah?
Yes, I do.
Oh, we're together. Holding this conversation, and it is such an awesome one. And
oh,
what you
were
saying.
Teresa.
Yeah, Teresa.
Okay, good, good.
But what she was saying about being afraid to accept the love that someone has to give because you really don't know what it looks like because you've never experienced it, that's the twist on what our mother said earlier. That's a person that never experienced love, never experienced acceptance, and so it's foreign to them. They're used to being rejected, so they already have a wall built up, and then here comes love, and they don't believe it's real, nor can they appreciate it because they've never experienced it, and it takes them a minute to realize that it doesn't change up on you.
Yeah, and you know what that makes me think of as you're speaking? It actually makes me think of, for example, just just sometimes people that have been adopted or have moved from one foster home to another,
and
they've experienced where they've gone into those homes and people didn't treat them properly. And even people who were raised in families where the mother and father were abusive or just all kinds of things like that. Yeah, that's a good point, that the fact that they would be in a situation where they never experienced it, so when they see it, they can't recognize it. Man, this is a powerful conversation.
Right.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love
that's
it, and I love the fact that the diversity, because rejection has many faces. But the good news is that he says, fear not, for I have overcome the world. You know, the reality of it is that you have to know who God is. Because if you don't know who God is, you can't have a conversation with him. In order to have a conversation with him, you have to know who he is. And that's the premise of this whole show. Me, God, and a cup of coffee. That's how I start my mornings. I have a deck that I love to go out on my deck. Even in the winter, I like to just go out there with my mug and just talk to God, because whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm afraid of, when I'm in that place, he reassures me that, lo, I will be with you always. And, you know, I have a favorite scripture. I've always found a way to stick this scripture in. I don't really care what I'm talking about. This scripture seems to work. And I'm going to quote it. It says, for I have learned that whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. In all things I'm instructed, both when to be full and when to be hungry. What does that say to me? That says that God has given me a peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't care what's going on. I mean, I really mean that. Some of you don't know me, but I have a son in prison doing 47 years, so they say. And even in that, I get up some mornings and I'm afraid of what's going to happen to him tomorrow. Or sometimes in certain circles, I feel that I may be rejected if they know I have a son that's in prison. But I'm going to tell you what, God orchestrates our life. He does all things well. He makes no mistakes. And what I've come to realize is even in that, things have come up out of me that I never thought were there. I have a new boldness. I have a new love for life. And I'm telling you, we have yet to see what all God is going to do. I could just go on. Deborah, Mom, Teresa, anybody. Do I have any other callers that have a comment?
Before anybody else says anything, let me say this one thing real quick.
And then I have another caller that has a question, Mom, so we have
Go
ahead.
No.
I want to hear what you have to say.
Oh,
go ahead,
every
Mommy.
Every man may not know God, have a knowledge of God, but every man has a portion of God. All men were created by God, and God has a place in every man. And when you think you don't know him, quiet yourself, sit yourself down, and just meditate, and you'll find that God in you will come up in you. Just one.
Okay, that's awesome. I love that. Hold on one second. I got two more people. Let's see. Who is this? A caller?
Hi, Susan.
Yes.
It's Cassandra. These are my favorite.
Oh,
my
go
favorite
ahead, Cassandra.
People.
Come on, girl. You got 2 minutes. Come on. We want to hear from you.
Okay. I wanted to say that I just picked up two things that I think I can apply in a situation that I have experienced possible rejection, and that would be at my new position at Morgan. And what I try to remember now, somebody told me, is that everywhere we go as the people of God, now we're supposed to bring it back to the to a Garden of Eden. So I already, you know, thought about that. But then I love something that your mom and Deborah said. First of all, like anything that rejection that I thought was possible rejection by being new there, and that is working for my good. And then I love what Deborah said, to turn it around, and instead of it being rejection, for me to expect acceptance. I love it. And those are two things that I just picked up that I'm going to apply in that situation.
I love it. Well, I love you, Cassandra, my mother, Deborah, Teresa. I have other callers on the line. I tell you, I don't know if Carmen was on the line, Carmen Calhoun. She was going to join me this morning. Alethea Dupree Jones. I don't recognize all of the numbers, and the next show, next Saturday, I'll be better. I'll have someone who's assisting me that will be able to get the names and the questions ahead of time. But know that I love you. Thank you for joining us. I look forward to doing this again. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered, and know that you are loved. I love you, and I appreciate you joining me on today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and have a cup of coffee on me. Talk to you soon.